And then, as the eyes pull back, it is a long green mound, lying like a great whale on the world, surrounded by the inky rainwater in the saucer. Miss Tick looked up.
"That little creature in the boat was a Nac Mac Feagle," she said, "the most feared of all the fairy races. Even trolls run away from the wee free men. And one of them warned her."
"She's the witch, then, is she?" said the voice.
"At that age, impossible," said Miss Tick. "There's been no one to teach her. There are no witches on the chalk, it's too soft."
And yet, she wasn't scared.
The rain had stopped. Miss Tick looked up at the chalk, rising above the low, wrung-out clouds. It was about 5 miles away. "This child needs watching," she said, "but chalk's too soft to grow a witch on." Only the mountains were higher than the chalk. They stood sharp and purple and grey, streaming long trails of snow from their tops even in summer. "Brides of the sky," Granny Aching had called them once, and it was so rare that she ever said anything at all, let alone anything that wasn't to do with sheep, that Tiffany had remembered it. Besides, it was exactly right. That's what the mountains looked like in the winter, when they were all in white and the snow streams blew like veils. Granny used old words and came out with odd, old sayings. She didn't call the downland the chalk. She called it the wold. "Up on the wold, the wind blows cold," Tiffany had thought, and the word had stuck that way. She arrived at the farm. People tended to leave Tiffany alone. There was nothing particularly cruel or unpleasant about this, but the farm was big and everyone had their jobs to do, and she did hers very well, and so she became, in a way, invisible. She was the dairymaid, and good at it. She made better butter than her mother did, and people commented about how good she was with cheese. It was a talent. Sometimes, when the wandering teachers came to the village, she went and got a bit of education. But mostly she worked in the dairy, which was dark and cool. She enjoyed it. It meant she was doing something for the farm. It was actually called the Home Farm. Her father rented it from the baron who owned the land, but there had been Achings farming it for hundreds of years, and so, her father said, quietly sometimes after he'd had a beer in the evenings, as far as the land knew, it was owned by the Achings. Tiffany's mother used to tell him not to speak like that, although the baron was always very respectful to Mr. Achings since Granny had died 2 years ago, calling him the finest shepherd in these hills, and was generally held by the people in the village to be not too bad these days. It paid to be respectful, said Tiffany's mother, and the poor man had sorrows of his own. But sometimes her father insisted that there had been Achings, or Akins, or Arkins, or Akens, or Akens. Spelling had been optional. Mentioned in old documents about the area for hundreds and hundreds of years. They had these hills in their bones, he said, and they'd always been shepherds. Tiffany felt quite proud of this in an odd way, because it might also be nice to be proud of the fact that your ancestors moved around a bit too, or occasionally tried new things. But you've got to be proud of something. And for as long as she could remember, she'd heard her father, an otherwise quiet, slow man, make the joke. The one that must have been handed down from Aching to Aching for hundreds of years. He'd say, "Another day of work and I'm still aching." Or, "I get up aching and I go to bed aching." Or even, "I'm aching all over." They weren't particularly funny after about the third time, but she'd miss it if he didn't say at least one of them every week. They didn't have to be funny. They were father jokes. Anyway, however they were spelled, all her ancestors had been aching to stay, not aching to leave. There was no one around in the kitchen. Her mother had probably gone up to the shearing pens with a bite of lunch for the men who were shearing this week. Her sisters, Hannah and Fastidia, were up there too, rolling fleeces and paying attention to some of the younger men. They were always quite keen to work during shearing. Near the big black stove was the shelf that was still called Granny Aching's library by her mother, who liked the idea of having a library. Everyone else called it Granny's shelf. It was a small shelf,
since the books were wedged between a jar of crystallised ginger and the china shepherdess that Tiffany had won at a fair when she was six. There were